Good morning, friends in Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is from the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We begin at the 42nd verse. Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Here ends the text, we pray. O Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to share one of my favorite legends with you today. I apologize if you've already heard it before. The legend goes that long before Screwtape was writing letters to his nephew Wormwood, the devil had called three demons to come and appear before him in hell. Having witnessed Christ's death and resurrection and ascension, and then also the events of Pentecost, he called these three demons to come before him so he could eventually send them out to go out and to tempt and to torment and harass humanity. But before he sent them out on their diabolical mission, he wanted to hear the plan they had to do this. So the first demon stepped forward and he said, "I'm going to go tell them that there is no God." And the devil just shook his head and he said, "Well, that's not going to work because in their heart of hearts they know that there is." And so then the second demon stepped forward and he said, "I'm going to tell them that, you know what, there is no such thing as hell." And again, the devil shook his head and he said, "Well, that plan is absolutely hopeless, because even in this life, they experience some of the regret and the pain to a certain degree of hell." And finally, the third demon stepped forward, and he looked at the devil, and he said, "I'm simply going to tell them, there's no hurry." And the devil, hearing this, became wide-eyed and excited. And he said to the demon, "Go now, hurry, go tell them, because if you do, you are going to take them down by the millions." In our text, Jesus this morning says, "Watch." He tells the church to keep watch like a soldier being on guard and on patrol, watching for the last day for when Jesus is going to return. And we need to be on watch because no one knows when our Lord will return. And we need to keep watch because if we don't watch for our Savior and watch for his return, we could be very much in trouble like that thief who wasn't ready and prepared when the thief, that robber, showed up at his house. And yes, I obviously know that all scripture is important, but I think this section of scripture is extremely important on a college campus. Because as a college-age student, you show up on campus and you think you've got all the time in the world. And you know what? Why shouldn't you have that attitude yet at this point in your life? You're still at that point in your life. You get to chase your hopes and dreams. You want to be the next dean. You are looking for someone that you hope that you're going to find that's going to share the rest of your life with and everything else. But see, the problem comes is when we have that attitude of no hurry, that attitude, "I've got an abundance of time," and it spills over into our spiritual life. We have an attitude of no hurry when it comes to our faith in our Savior. That's where the problem is. And see, far too often when we are in the prime of life, that's a very easy thing for us to let happen to ourselves. Because again, we see only the future and all those possibilities and all those achievements and all those objects that are out there hopefully waiting for us. And so we can have a student come to campus who has been raised in a very strong family with a strong foundation of faith in Savior, in church. But what often happens is they come to campus, and it's going to happen to any of us. And now, no longer having the encouragement and the reminders of a parent, it's very easy to slip into a no-hurry attitude when it comes to his or her spiritual life. And see, when that happens, unfortunately, many times, then countless sinful and unhealthy activities and habits replace the godly and healthy ones. And if a no-hurry attitude for your spiritual life goes unchecked, it can definitely be detrimental to your faith. You can start to find yourself with the attitude, you know what, I've got plenty of time. I can figure out this God and this Jesus and this church thing later on in life, after I graduate, once I'm married and have children, when I retire. But see, here are the problems. Number one is, the longer that you and I continue to be in habits and activities that are sinful and unhealthy for ourselves, the more detriment happens to our faith. It weakens. And the stronger that no-hurry grasp of the devil tightens around our neck. And number two, have you been promised a tomorrow? I can't find anywhere in Scripture where I have been guaranteed with absolute certainty that I get to have a tomorrow here on this earth. Nor has God all of a sudden poof showed up and told me and assured me of such a thing. And I think that we forget that at times. And so if I wait and I have a no-hurry attitude towards my spiritual life, where could I find myself if tomorrow never comes? If I have allowed myself to slack and I'm no longer being watchful and eagerly anticipating my Savior to return, then that means that the devil, the world's oldest and best thief, will or has already stolen my faith because I allowed him to. And we know that only results in an eternity in hell. And faculty and staff, it's just as easy for you and I to fall into this no-hurry attitude with our own spiritual life, especially because we're on this campus where we have the blessing of being surrounded by God's word and work every single day. And so you and I, we also need to be vigilant and to watch, as Jesus says here. But as faculty and staff here at Bethany, we've also got another little nuance to what's being said here and the reminder that's here. You and I, we can't afford to develop or to have a no-hurry attitude when it comes to the spiritual lives of those we serve. We need to make sure that we have an eagerness and that we are watching for and with our families and our friends. We should never take for granted that we're going to see every single one of our students tomorrow, because we don't know what the Lord has planned in the future. And so whenever you and I have the chance, we need to and we should want to share Christ and his word with those that the Lord is allowing us to serve. Because again, being watchful, because we don't know if Christ will return, and we don't know if Christ will call somebody we serve home or will call us home. Now, as doom and gloom as you feel, this has probably been up to this point. And in fairness, some of us are celebrating the final judgment or last judgment week of the church here right now. This text is definitely not all doom and gloom. There is comfort and hope here. And it's this. Christ can't come again if he didn't show up a first time. It's so it is in that Advent that you and I truly find our comfort, our peace, and our hope. In his incarnation, God's Son also then became the Blessed Virgin's Son. And by the taking on of our flesh, he lived a life for you and me, a life that was always eagerly looking forward to the Lord and his perfect will and his perfect law. A perfect life that for 33 years always was spiritually watchful, not just for himself, but for all of humanity. In that life of his that was always hurrying to redeem mankind, finally led him up to what? A Roman cross. And there his blood was spilled. And because of that, you and I have the wonderful blessings of knowing that every single one of our sins has been taken away. It is as far away from you and me as the east is from the west. And so having been washed in Christ's blood by faith and with water and word and supper, we can eagerly watch for and wait for and eagerly anticipate our Savior to return. But we don't do so in fear. We don't do so in doom and gloom. Now, yes, we don't know when our Savior is going to return, nor do we know when he's going to call us home to heaven someday. But see, we have the reminder throughout all of Scripture that when we remain watchful by actively using the Lord's means of grace in worship, in our daily lives, well, then we have the absolute certainty that the devil, the world's oldest and greatest thief, cannot take our forgiveness, our salvation, or our heavenly home from us. And so what that means, my friends, is that as Christians, we eagerly await Christ's return like that little child on the back of the couch looking out the front window, waiting for mom and dad to come back from a long trip. We wait with excitement and with eager expectation. May the Holy Spirit regularly remind us of the need to be in a hurry, spiritually speaking. And may he also then help us to be watchful through word and sacrament so that we are prepared for when our Savior calls us home or comes again, even if it is tonight or tomorrow. Amen. Please rise. This morning we have a number of prayers. We pray for the father of Wanda Hull, Irvin Holland, who has been hospitalized and has needed surgery up at Abbott Northwestern Hospital. And this morning we also pray for the Holtz and McPherson families as the Lord has called Mrs. Kim Holtz home to heaven. Let us pray. O Lord, look down from heaven. And behold, visit and relieve your servant Irvin, for whom we pray. Look upon him with the eyes of your divine mercy and give him and his family comfort and sure confidence in you. Defend him from every danger to body and soul and keep him in your peace and safety as you bless the work of the doctors, nurses, and all who watch over him. O gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the days of earthly life you granted to Kim Holtz, for the grace bestowed in Christ Jesus, for her adoption and rebirth and holy baptism, and for all the good she was permitted to give and to receive. We now ask for your peace and the hope of a blessed reunion in heaven upon her family as we entrust them to your mercy and pray for the sustaining comfort of your Holy Spirit. We pray all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We'll continue with the hymn.